Yes, what is it, over? Is there anything showing, is there?
The water has gone for the past 2 hours and there's nothing visible just yet, but he'd like you to get there as soon as you possibly can.
Okay, you can tell him I'm on my way. Over and out.
What you still coming here, Brendan?
Yes. I had to take another row of locks. You see, I had to put so much last night on tire shot to bring it up.
Yes.
You see, she stayed at the back of them.
Yes.
So she was all right in, but I got her this morning and she was up there.
Up there, yeah.
So I took this outside row, but you see how she pulled herself up now again.
I do. And the grunt is gone.
Not altogether, but great besides it was.
Yes.
Now and again.
Come on, girl. Get up. Come on.
Up.
Come on. Come on. That's it. Up to get.
See, when she stand now, she'll have to come back.
Yes. Ha. There's a leg up in there.
Look at that now. Do you see?
Yes.
Yeah, had her back. Oh, she was back. But she has a different movement now.
No. Good job. Back. Nice to get. Just stand at her hip there. Hey.
General.
Yeah.
Is she eating?
No.
She's eaten nothing since?
No, and her, she hadn't touched anything either. No,
yes.
Brendan.
And you got the liquid paraffin for her?
I did. I got it last night at Harris.
Yes.
And I took a couple of pints of liquid paraffin for myself first.
Did you?
I came down then. Ah, but Brendan, do you know what I missed it?
Yes.
I halted after you going. I had no right. I had right to leave the tie. I suffered with that halter, you see, to try to dose.
Yes.
And herself wasn't able to keep her up, you know. And don't you know now, with the halter, I spilled a lot of it, but I give about a bottle and a half between spilling and everything, I suppose.
Yes. Well, you know, the danger of the tie around her neck and counting she being a heifer peg is that she could choke herself, you know. And, like, it was safer to leave a halter on her for the night, you know.
Yeah, but I'm saying I would, but I had right to leave it until I dosed her, Brendan.
Oh, yes.
You know, with the halter, devil, I couldn't get her head, you know.
Yes, couldn't get her head high enough.
High enough?
Yeah.
Your vish is your public servant. You have to pay him. Well, he's entitled to his payment. He went and took all his degrees and he went to college and everywhere. Well, we were above with the ditch cutting briars and sorting out supposed old knees and nothing at all for them this year. But the vish is, they'll tell you he's raking in the money, but they'll never tell you at all about the service he's giving you. He's giving you 24-hour service round the clock. And he's, as I said, he's your public servant. And make use of him. Just the same as you would with your doctor or anything else. Hmm?
No? Her back's out here, there's probably another lamb there,
We changed the house up to the end of the road. That's not too far up the road, like, you know.
Yeah.
And I seen them an hour ago, and she was shedding above me. I was feeding them there, but she was lying down to the left. I just got to touch them after
there's no lamb in her, is she? But
she's
gangrene of the womb.
Yeah.
Gangrene of the womb, yeah.
She's on the way out, though.
She's on the way out, really.
I gave her an injection of 5 penicillin and septamate and mixed 5 cc's before I left.
Yes.
Cased it.
Yes. Had you been vaccinated?
Oh, I have, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to have.
We'll treat her anyway, Matty, with the best injections we have. Just lift her up there and I put some of this stuff into her womb.
I'll tell you, James, what I get.
Injections for her.
She's rougher than in stock, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yes, what is it, over?
There's a man outside with a lamb, and Joe Kinnan is outside as well.
Okay, I'll be back in about 10 minutes now, over.
Frothing over the moat
Yeah. Just leave me there a minute, Matty. This morning you noticed him, was it?
Yeah, 2 hours ago.
Yeah.
He was running around that time, but
yeah.
Have you the yours vaccinated?
Yes.
With the 8 and 1?
Yes.
You have.
Yeah.
Good man.
And he wants the green stuff as well.
Yes. Well, that lamb now has laryngitis.
Laryngitis.
Now,
last one, 2 years ago.
Something similar, is that right? It's an infected Adam's apple, really. Your Adam's apple here in your throat.
Yes.
It's swollen, and it's catching his breathing going down. He's not able to breathe. You know, not able to eat. I'd say he should respond to a few antibiotics, you know?
Yeah, good man.
I'll give him a few if you want
to. I thought no, the one before.
You want to start responding very fast or he'll suffocate, you know?
Yeah.
Hold on there a second.
How are you, Joe?
Brenda. We're very lucky with the vets we have at the moment now. These younger vets are more inclined to talk about the diseases. The older men didn't either seem to have the time or want to discuss problems at all. They wanted to come in and do a call, cure a sick animal and go away again without giving any advice with it. But in a lot of cases I go to visit Brendan at night time and tell him about a problem I have. Maybe it doesn't need a visit from him, but he can always sometimes give me medicine to give the animal myself. We're lucky to be in an area here between 3 or 4 veterinary offices, and we had the choice of, you know, moving from one place to the other. There's a lot of men that don't have the service that we have now. We have a 24-hour service.
You know, farmers have a peculiar habit of referring to animals that you may have seen 2 or 3 years previously as the cow that had the mastitis or the cow that was lame. But it reminds me of a story where a farmer came into his local vet and he said, John, he said, do you remember that horse you castrated for me a few years ago, he said. Imagine, I went out this morning and I found him dead. So the vet, of course, knew that the farmer was in some way insinuating that the castration 2 years previously had some effect on his death. So he said to him, Paddy, the vet said, do you remember John McGrath that lived down the road? And the farmer said he did. Well, said the vet, he died suddenly last night too, and I didn't castrate him.
She was fond of the horses now. She wouldn't. I used to give it twice a day to her.
Yes.
But then she got out of it in the evening, and I started boiling the meal and barley meal in a mash, you know what
yes.
I mean?
Yes.
And she takes that.
Yes. And she's gone down to the milkman as well.
Oh,
she?
And eat cheese.
She's around 6 weeks calf now, is she?
Roughly.
Yes. But we want to see her again now.
Well, I let her. Then we thought if we had a little garden and a big headland, there was some grass on it. We said we'd drive her out, you know, and it got fine in a few hours. It would be fine. And she picked that.
Yes.
But.
Yes.
I shouldn't as much as a cake.
Yes. Maybe. Well, I'd say there's another condition setting in there now. I'd say she's getting acetonemia, or what they call sugar deficiency, ma'am, which is very closely related to the other metabolic disease she had,
know,
you know.
I know.
So, I think it would be better if we had another look at her, ma'am.
Well, it's all right. She's
yes.
got to look. She has fell in now and got him.
Yes. Well, we'll be down to you in about an hour, ma'am.
That'll be okay now.
Will that be okay?
You'll pass me out.
Yeah, I won't pass you out. I'll give you time to go home.
That'll be all right.
You'll
so thank you.
Okay, ma'am.
As I said, she hasn't approved, and today she's lost an, yeah. I'd say, there.
Yeah. Yes.
Know.
Okay, ma'am. We'll see
okay,
her for you.
Thank you.
Thank you. You see those cows and cattle grazing along the side of the road there now? That's the owner of that. Those is an old woman, but that's a brucellosis reactor herd, and I believe that some of her cows have aborted, and yet she lets her cattle roam the road, and the local farmers have objected to me. I've complained to the district veterinary office. I believe the local farmers themselves have complained to their representative, public representatives, and yet nothing can be done about it. I mean, those cattle are breaking into everybody's land, and all we have a few very big farmers along this area here out in Myla. We have men that have up to 16, 70 cows, and like it's not fair to them that those cattle should be allowed to wander on the public road.
And as far as I know, the guard, the authorities are tired walking them into the pound in Mount Belier. And yet, it is, as far as I'm aware, it is their ultimate responsibility to remove those stock from the road.
Just tell me about her again now. She's gone out for milk.
Gone out for milk, gone out for feed. Food.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's 6 weeks calved.
Well, no, not six now.
Well,
a week off it, I'd say, sir.
Five weeks.
Yeah. Yes. A Monday. I'd say she'll be 5 weeks last Monday now.
Yes.
I near enough.
Near enough.
And how much milk does she have in the morning now, ma'am?
Oh, four saucepans, I'd say.
Yes.
But no, that was nothing to compare us on what she used to have.
Just about half.
A quarter. That's what was wrong with the poor little cow. She was too honest.
Well, she was. She was making too heavy.
She used to rear bucket and three saucepans with her. Every summer. And she had this big bag down then, you know.
And a big calf.
And a big calf.
And then...
But really, last Christmas, that was a real fed, well-fed cow.
She was indeed.
No. Lovely. You know those when they have these two lumps on their thighs of meat, as I call it. Mm. She was that fed. She started to go down, then we started to give her a bit of Indian meal out from a bucket before she came. Of course, then she had a giant of a calf. She fed the calf, she started herself. So that's really what happened. But no, she wasn't short to hay.
Plenty of hay there.
Well, she got it. She always got enough to hay.
Now she's after developing another condition now, Mrs. Grady.
Yeah.
She has, what I told you up at the door, she has sugar deficiency, you know, which is lacking sugar in her blood. So I will give her an injection now for you, and I will give you some stuff that you will dose her with yourself.
Right.
Won't you be able, Larry?
Well, of course. Sure.
Well, now, not interrupting you, we have to give her the grass technique treatment from a bottle. Yeah, she would not eat it. Can we give the two together?
No, you can cut out the grass technique treatment now for a week until such time as she's got this course.
I know.
Of stuff, and then you can start off with the grass technique treatment again.
Well, we'll give her every day, will we?
Twice a day. I'll tell you now when I get there.
Let's go ahead.
All right, we'll obey.
We'll take orders.
Pension officer came one time and he asked a man, he said, have you much arable land?
He said, have you much land?
Yes. Tell him no.
And how is this? He said then, oh, we have, he said, but there's more of it horrible than arable.
Great crop of hay all the same, haven't you?
Oh, we have plenty of hay, of course.
You're a lucky man. Very few farmers have it now.
I don't know. Maybe if we have more cattle to eat, do you see what other people have? We have a lot of cattle and they haven't enough hay. We haven't enough of cattle and we have too much hay. So who's the lucky?
I see the time we went looking in the month table for a bag of hay for silk calves.
Well, who's the lucky farmer then?
Why don't you get more cattle?
When we keep paying the vets, we can't afford to be doing it.
Hold on, I want to give her one more injection. If she doesn't come up dramatically in her milk now, in 4 days, Larry, let me know again. Call into the house and I will give you another dose.
Okay.
Good man, you can hurry off there now. Please. Good man. Just this is the bottle I want to give you now. You'll give her 8 fluid ounces twice a day for 2 days.
And how will I know 8 fluid ounces?
Have you any little dosing bottle?
I think I should have.
All yes, right. Or just less than a cupful.
Yes, I have.
Yes, you have a dosing bottle.
I have.
Yes. Well, 8 fluid ounces twice a day for 2 days and 4 fluid ounces twice a day on the third day.
Well, on its own.
On its own.
Without any mixture at all through?
No mixture, nothing through it.
All right, fair enough.
You'll think of that.
I will, Ibra.
Good man yourself.
I will. I almost think of something that's going to do me good.
Good man.
Stock has gone that valuable when you look back over all these old cures. Stock today, I for one wouldn't believe in messing with this old cure, buttermilk and blue stone and whatever you call it, to go stop blood mudding. I'd send for me vid straight away if I noticed any diagnosis of anything like that.
I think it's money well spent. It takes a long time to give the price of one calf to a vet. Price is £80 this year. The vet does a lot of work for £80, I think, anyway.
I suppose I spend it not counting medicine at all now. If I counted medicine and everything, it must be costing me way over £100 a year.
Is it money well spent?
Oh, of course it's money well spent. Oh, yes. Oh, we didn't do that. Land being overran with stock as it is now, it's there are infections that we never had when I was a young lad. Oh, we didn't spend... Same applies to every farmer.
It is a big expense. It's a matter of luck along it all. Here now, 2 years ago, and back for 5 years. I was a few years there having them very often. But a couple of years ago, I had them practically for everything. Even sheep, you see. But I got out of sheep now, last back in the once again, me, and I wasn't making nothing out of sheep. Not in this small place, you see.
Well, do you call the vet for virtually anything now that goes
wrong? I do. I do now. Except it sucks now for when I buy them in and white scour, I give them some Arafat 20 and things like that, and I get them going all right and writing them off, except in a very bad case. I get them just for that.
Were you brought up in a farm?
I was.
And in your father's time, what happened with vets?
Well, in my father's time, I was only 5 years when my father died. I was the eldest of four, you see, and my youngest brother wasn't born for 3 months after my father died, so I just can't bear to remember in my father. But I know in these times are when I started off first necessary from school, in a small place you practically had very little stock because all that was manured at them times was the crop of potatoes and the crop of oats and the bit of hay. And the pasture was left with nothing, you see. And it was bare there and you couldn't rear any stock worth finding a small place. But we're rearing so many years now we're rearing treble, four times as much even in a small place as what we were that time. In them times now, what we mostly done, we went outside and we took land for Conacher, both spuds and oats. And of course, as you know, in them years there was a small price for stock. So we sold certified spuds and took land everywhere and seed oats and all that, you see. And that's what practically kept us going in them times. But then as the time went on and we started manuring the land, we started packing up these potatoes and any crop we had into us for feeding the stock, you see.
So you have far greater need for vets now than you had.
Oh, far greater need now. There was in them times, there was very little need. And I'd say with the heavy manure and all, that we made the land so rich as I think myself that the stock, there's greater need for vets. I'd say that in dim times we never remember a grass tetany or very little milk favour or dim things, but since we started manuring the land heavy and had better grass, I'd say there's more need for vets. The land is richer.
So many animals are being produced in such a confined area, and that grassland management and fertilisation programmes have been increased so enormously that the metabolic status of the animals aren't able to cope with the sudden changes, and in fact they're breaking down in such metabolic diseases as tetany and milk fever and acetonemia. And the cow, the udder, is being asked to develop and produce more, whereas the internal organs and the hormones of the cow, which control that udder, aren't developing to the same degree. The animal is being treated as a machine where you put in feed through the mouth and you hope to take milk out through the udder. But what's not realised is that that machine is one of the most complicated machines in this world, and that every cell in that machine is answerable to a particular organ in the body, so that the output, in fact, is much greater than the input plus all the extra activity within the animal's body.
I did, Paddy.
No, I just said, I mean, what? No, I just seen you come. Had a crate in the blow. Paddy Conn got pull-ups in the road. Yes. And Jack Corman passed on. We thought over on to Corman. I just seen you there. No.
Yes.
There was a fella called with the same as what you're finding.
That's right. That's right. I'm
a green
that.
Pair.
That's right.
That's what that
about. Thanks very much, Penny. Thank you. Thanks very much.
But they have to make all their money in these couple of months, don't they?
No, it's an all year round job now. There's only one vish about here, and that was Ballygare. And any time, nearly every time you go down to his house, you'd find him. Now there are two vits in Ballygare, and there are four in Montbellion, and they're going day and night. That's history for you now, if you want it. Vitheel.
There are a lot more cattle on the line.
Ah, that's telling it, of course. And there are a lot more treatments. And remember, Burdenhouse lorry is still on the road.
Nice.
You're laughing at me, Brendan. Will you?
Yeah.
Where will we put indoors to catch them?
I will catch them here.
One of the big troubles or problems with veterinary practice in this country at the moment is that the most financially rewarding aspects of it are the government schemes. And the government, this scheme involves the TB testing and the blood testing. And each farmer nominates whichever veterinary surgeon he wishes to do this for him. And this essentially is very bad for practice.
Why? Like,
for the simple reason that the farmer can hold the veterinary surgeon to ransom. And it creates tremendous opposition between veterinary surgeons in any particular area. It creates a lot of aggro.
We have the ewe clipped and washed and shaved. We have now applied an iodine antiseptic to finally clean the skin, and we're after putting on surgical spirits just to defat the skin and to get rid of any local infection that might be there. You now see James putting on the drapes, and everything is set for the surgery. We've already given the ewe a local anaesthetic on the site of incision, no general anaesthetic.
Why not?
Because firstly, there's no need for it. And secondly, ruminants in general, cows and sheep, don't take to general anaesthesia too well because of the regurgitation, because they're animals that chew their cud. And there's a possibility of inhalation pneumonia. And there's really no need for it. You can carry on very satisfactory surgery by local anaesthesia and by tying them down with ropes, which, as you can see, we have done here now. We're making the skin incision now along the line where we have applied the local anaesthetic.
No, these are different layers of muscle.
There are four layers of muscle which we have to get through before we reach the internal lining, the peritoneum. Two layers, oblique layers, and one straight layer of muscle, and then we reach the peritoneal cavity, inside which is the uterus. James is about to incise the straight muscle and peritoneal cavity at the moment. There you have the omentum, which is the layers of fat which surround the rumen and the uterus, protruding through the skin incision.
This is a very fat ewe.
Okay, John, you can leave him down.
Is it?
Yeah. But
I think I've revived him. As you saw me there, I pumped him and swung him and applied artificial respiration. He's beginning to breathe now again. Pardon?
I know there was something wrong.
It was so long gone, is it?
Oh, the dark.
Oh, yes.
What happened?
This is the uterus itself.
We're suturing the uterus. Going in is very fast, but coming out, again, is what's slow. We have to suture all the layers, again, as we incise them on the way in. We're now suturing the uterus.
It's very much the same kind of sewing that women do.
Well, it is. The needle is the same anyway, or it's slightly curved, whereas women have straight needles. But in fact, it may look simple now, but it's an inverted Lambert suture, which is very essential if you want to get the uterus to knit properly again. To the observer, it might look simple, but if you suture the uterus in any other fashion, the uterus would keep seeping, it wouldn't knit, and your surgery would be hopeless, really.
Wait till you see the 60 knot coming up in a minute.
As you see, it's our guard that's used as a surgery, so there's a great demand, really, on hygiene and hosing the garage out and washing clothes and everything. It's very constant, and I think until I went out with Brendan on calls, I didn't appreciate how difficult it is for him to keep his clothes clean. But you would be kept busy all the time keeping his clothes washed. There are many demands on. It's the door and the phone and the 7 day a week of every week of the year, really, that is very demanding and very trying at times. And I think the public don't realise, really, that their call is one of so many every single day, that sometimes you might look a little bit tired at the door and feel a little bit off, and that smile is a little bit drawn on the face. And mind you, at the mid-hour of night or during the night, it can be a bit startling creeping down the stairs and hearing somebody at the door and halfway are you opening it, you know, but you have to do it, really, or the client will think that there's nobody there. You go ahead and you prepare a meal, or you're looking after the children and the door goes and you have to be there, and that itself really is very disappointing, because if you have a meal ready, naturally you like to be able to sit down and eat it, but then the door goes and then the phone goes and the door again. That the meal is very broken up, and family life really is very broken up at times because of the constant draw that is to the door and phone.
It's worse at some times of the year than others.
Well, spring, of course, is the busier time of the year, going on into summer, spring to summer. And then it's nearly 24 hours a day. You can be up and down the stairs at night and picking up the phone beside the bed, really, all the time.
Sure, I'm right. Is Hiddes here?
Yeah.
Everything is here now. Nice steady pull on it, just in the head is coming. Lift back the legs, John. Lift back into it.
Come back out together.
You pull that anchor.
She shouldn't lie down.
Yeah,
she might.
Yeah,
easy now, Brian. What are they now?
Get your hind leg there, Brian. Get your hind leg with John. Lift him higher, lads. Hold on. I think he's okay. Just leave him down there and let me see. Come off, John. Not easy.
Huh?
He's okay.
Yeah.
Nice lad.
Once he coughs tomorrow, you have a chance.
You get a drop of cold water, John, throw it on, revive him pretty fast. Jeez, I'm going to put on the cabin jacket.
Just
don't
pull.
No, it has to be pure cold. Alright,
big
nonsense.
Big cave.
Jeez, big cave, alright.
She could quite see, didn't
she? And?
She could quite
see. She didn't know, I don't think so. She, he said he came down. Just pass the water back there before he came down for me.
Well, the main physical danger is that you're going to get a kick from a cow or a horse. It's going to break or fracture your leg. We have to get into tight positions, but I try never to take chances. As you might notice over the last few days, I always talk to the animals when I approach them. I rub them down, and I try to keep myself out of danger without being cowardly. I think that is the secret, really, not to take chances and to mind yourself.
Well, a cow nearly got you this evening.
Yes, I was calving that heifer this evening, and when I went to handle her, she lashed out. As you might notice, I was standing pretty close to her so that she could not get me with the full volley of her kick. That is the only way I can protect myself with a vicious heifer like her. I'm about to castrate a few calves now, John. Some of them with the squeezers, the bordizzo, and some of them with the knife. They've gotten too strong, and I have to do open surgery on them.
This is a rough enough job.
It is. This particular farmer has got a chute, which makes the job very easy, but you've got to go in and operate between their hind legs, which has its hazards.
We'll squeeze these off. These are light enough. Just catch his tail now. Straight up in his back. Have a good grip of the tail now, Jimmy. That's the job. Hi, Jimmy. That's good.
What sort of a day had Jordan during?
They wanted me to scold the cattle, which was, the weather was too bad. I only castrated them for them. I told them I'd send them a card again when I do the sculling, you know?
Yeah.
But The weather was very bad, you know. I see where you had a cesarean yourself.
Oh yeah, there was Jack Murphy, very 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 young animal. She was just barely able to stand, and Gran Calf.
Yeah, you got him out alive, did you?
Yeah, I did, yeah. I'd say the heifer should be all right too. There'll be one of us revisiting her now tomorrow.
Very good.
But I'd say they should be all right.
Yeah, it's funny enough, I had one today too. I really usually get two cesareans on the one day. I had one up in Hampstead myself today, and out a live calf as well, you know. But sure, she was only a little waning herself.
Was she able to stand? Was she standing?
Well, she was standing, but I did her lying down.
Put in one of these starvation cases we're meeting a lot of. No, not really. What was I saying? What other calls you do today? Michael D. Montez, was that calf dead, was he? Oh yeah, that calf was dead. Jimmy D. Montez, remember?
Yeah, no, he died. His timber never came up in 95 at Hatcher. Despite he put him under the red lamp and all, but never came up. As you've seen over the last few days, John, an awful lot of farmers are taking their animals into us at the surgery. And we believe that in the long term, that it's not going to be economical to go out to farms to visit sheep and calves and small such animals. So therefore, we believe that an animal hospital is going to be essential for our long-term development. And we have immediate plans to erect such a hospital where a veterinary surgeon would be available 24 hours a day, standing there waiting for the patients, and that all bad cases would be hospitalised, chronic cases would be hospitalised, and all ewes and sheep would be presented to us there in the hospital at a much reduced fee from the farmer's point of view. Over the last 2 years, I have prescribed an awful lot of drugs to farmers as a follow-up treatment to visits I made to the farm. But I have found that there's such a vast amount of poor quality drugs on the market that the farmers couldn't be guaranteed to get the drugs I wanted them. And as there is no real legal control on veterinary drugs in this country, I found it essential that we should supply the farmers with what we regard as top quality veterinary drugs. And that is why we opened our office and shop in the centre of the town to guarantee farmers a full supply of top quality veterinary drugs. And that's all we stock in that shop.
I can go back 3 years and I call my vet if I'm in doubt or based out in the field. As when you go look at stock, go and look at them once a day, every 24 hours. Now, if you have time in the evening when you have your work done, I go back and let's look at the cattle. Well, I find when you go and put up your cattle, and if you find a lad kind of drowsy and he'll go off on his own and pick him, God, there's something coming on that lad now, it's there. And I give him an hour or two, I was in doubt. I go back again, take him home, ring for me a bit. And I find, going through stock, that the man that'll call his vet, the orphanist, is the man that's making the most money. I have a record in 4 years, I haven't lost a beast. Now, if your vet gives you good service, if you call him, he'll be there in an hour, he'll tell you, I'll be there in 20 minutes. Well, 9 times out of 10, that vet came. Now, it doesn't matter what time you call him, if you have a yaw dropping, they'll tell you, get the quack, and we'll examine her. And when you have the harem done, then send for your vet. Well, to my mind, that's out. If I'm in doubt, I won't handle his sheep, I wouldn't ask any neighbour to handle his sheep. If they thought there was anything wrong at all, go back to the kiosk, spend a shilling, spend £4, he could save a pair of lamb for you, he could save a Frisian bull calf for you, he can save a Frisian heifer calf to you. And if you save that calf and put him over a year, or put him over 5 years, you'll call your vet a long time before he takes away that calf, them two lamb. That's honest, that's sincere now.
over the past week, something in the nature of 10,000 young people gathered in Wexford for the national finals of the annual Festival of Youth, Snoga. I'd like to look back a couple of years to Snoga 76 and listen to two girls who gave a very successful account of themselves at Salt Hill. Moira Clare and Siobhan Granach, the Horn and Air War. well known in Scotland as it is in Ireland. Or perhaps we've time to hear a little more of the fiddling of Kevin Burke. On these reels, he is joined by accordion player Jackie Bailey.
Thank you.
Cousin Buck and Jackie Daly. Music there to wake one up to face the day.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.